This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
If I asked you to make a rich stick-to-your-ribs winter stew in just 40 minutes using absolutely zero meat, you would probably think I was setting you up for culinary failure.
Right, because that just goes against everything we're taught in a standard Western kitchen.
Exactly. I mean, when you hear the word stew, what stands out to you? Is it a heavy winter meal? Like a giant pot of beef chuck or pork shoulder just simmering on the back of the stove for an entire Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, slowly breaking down all that collagen.
Yeah.
We are so conditioned to believe that depth of flavor requires, you know, hours of heat and heavy animal proteins.
But today, we are taking everything you think you know about building a stew and just completely flipping it on its head.
Because the Western culinary tradition relies so heavily on the Maillard reaction, you know, browning meats and long, slow braises to develop those complex savory notes. But when we look outside that specific paradigm, we find entirely different mechanisms for achieving that same satisfying, umami-rich depth.
And frankly, some of these methods are just far more efficient for the home cook.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because our mission today is specifically tailored for you, the curious home cook living outside of Korea, who wants to master the foundational elements of an absolute classic.
Right, Doenjang Jjigae.
Yes, Doenjang Jjigae. We are going to decode the chemistry, the technique, and the history behind this iconic Korean soybean paste stew. That way you can pull it off in your own kitchen without feeling overwhelmed.
And understanding the architecture of this dish is crucial before you even touch a cutting board. So often, cooks try to apply French or American techniques to Korean cuisine, which usually just results in flat, muddy flavors.
You really have to understand the specific ingredients on their own terms.
Exactly.
So let's start with the literal identity of the dish. The Korean name is Doenjang Jjigae. And what I find incredibly helpful in our source material is how universally straightforward the translation is.
It really is. In English, the direct search hint is just soybean paste stew.
Right. And in Spanish, the translation is guiso de pasta de soja. It operates like a literal culinary map. The name itself tells you exactly what the foundation of the dish is, bypassing any, you know, poetic titles to just give you the anchor ingredient.
What's fascinating here is how dishes that translate so literally across languages really highlight a universal human reliance on fermented ingredients. I mean, Doenjang simply means thick paste.
It's entirely unpretentious.
It really is.
Yeah.
But more importantly, that linguistic straightforwardness cements its identity as a stew, a jjigae, rather than a lighter soup, which in Korean cuisine is called a guk.
Yeah, I want to focus on that distinction for a second between a jjigae and a guk, because we aren't talking about a translucent broth meant to just cleanse the palate.
No, not at all. A stew implies body, right? Yeah. A higher concentration of solid ingredients to liquid, and this intense earthy savoriness that can stand up to a bowl of rice.
But this brings me to the core ingredient, the soybean paste itself. I think a lot of home cooks outside Korea might just assume doenjang is another word for Japanese miso.
Oh, substituting miso for doenjang is one of the most common mistakes a beginner can make, and it fundamentally alters the chemistry of the dish.
Wait, really? Fundamentally alters it?
Yeah, because miso is typically made by fermenting soybeans with a specific cultured grain. Like rice or barley that's been inoculated with koji, it produces a sweeter, lighter, much more refined flavor profile.
Whereas doenjang traditionally is a wild fermentation.
Correct.
And by wild fermentation, you mean they aren't using like a controlled starter culture in a sterile lab.
Exactly. Historically, soybeans are boiled, pounded into these solid blocks called meju, and then hung to dry. And they're often tied with rice straw.
And that straw introduces wild bacteria, right?
Yeah, Bacillus subtilis bacteria. The blocks are then submerged in brine inside these breathable earthenware pots called ungji.
Wow. Okay, so it's a very natural environmental process.
Very. And as it ferments over months, the liquid gets drawn off to become traditional Korean soup soy sauce, or gukkenjang. And the remaining dark, funky, intensely savory solids, that becomes the doenjang.
Which explains why it's so much earthier and sharper than miso.
It's far more robust.
So when you drop a spoonful of doenjang into your pot, you are actually utilizing months of, like, invisible microbial labor.
That is the secret to the dish right there. The bacteria have already done the heavy lifting of breaking down the complex soybean proteins into free amino acids.
And the most prominent of those amino acids is glutamic acid, right? The stuff that binds to the receptors on our tongues to signal umami or savoriness.
Exactly. The microbes have essentially pre-digested the proteins, so the flavor is readily available the second it hits the water.
Which perfectly explains the timeline. According to the culinary data we've gathered, the expected cooking time for doenjang jjigae is a remarkably short 40 minutes.
Yep, 40 minutes for a true stew is incredibly fast.
It's amazing for home cooks, but I do have to push back on the categorization in our sources here.
Oh, so?
They officially rate this dish as medium difficulty, and if the microbes have already done the braising for me and the active cooking time is only 40 minutes, what am I missing?
That's a fair question.
Like, why isn't this rated easy? Is 40 minutes mostly active chopping or passive simmering? Is it easy to ruin the paste?
Well, you're missing the volatility of those fermented compounds. If you treat this like a Western stew and just boil the life out of it for an hour, you will completely destroy the dish.
Really? Just by boiling it too long?
Yes. The medium difficulty comes down to precise thermal management and sequencing. Those delicate flavor compounds and, you know, the probiotic benefits created during fermentation, they are highly sensitive to prolonged heat.
It's essentially the green tea rule then. If you steep green tea in rapidly boiling water for 10 minutes, you extract all the bitter tannins and ruin the delicate floral notes.
That is the exact mechanism at play. Overboiling doenjang neutralizes its subtle complexities. So that 40-minute window is not passive simmering. It is an active sequencing of ingredients based on their density and flavor extraction rates.
Ah, okay, so you don't just dump everything in at once.
No, you don't even start with a paste. You start by building a foundational broth.
Right, because plain water isn't going to cut it, even with a powerhouse paste. Our sources emphasize building a broth first, and typically that involves dried kelp, known as dashima, and dried anchovies, known as miyochi.
And there is brilliant chemistry behind that specific combination. We already talked about the glutamates and the soybean paste. Well, kelp is also packed with the glutamates.
Okay, so doubling down on the savoriness.
But the dried anchovies provide a completely different compound, inosinates.
Mm.
And when you combine glutamates with inosinates, they don't just add together, they multiply.
Wait, they multiply?
Yeah, it's a synergistic umami effect that can amplify the savor perception on your palate by up to 8 times.
That's incredible. You're chemically tricking your palate into experiencing the richness of a 12-hour bone broth in, what, about 15 minutes of simmering dried fish and seaweed?
Pretty much. And once that rapid broth is established, you remove the solid so it doesn't get bitter.
Right.
Then you sequence your vegetables. This is where knife schools really dictate the cooking time. You add dense vegetables first, like Korean radish moo and potatoes.
And you cut the radish into thin, uniform squares specifically to maximize surface area, right? To let them release their natural sweetness and absorb the savory broth quickly.
Exactly. Then you follow up with the softer vegetables. Zucchini, specifically the slightly denser Korean ahobak, if you can find it, onions. And mushrooms like enoki or shiitake, which introduce even more umami compounds.
Wow, it just keeps building. And then finally, the tofu.
Yes. But notice how late the doenjang actually enters the process.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. We haven't even added the paste yet.
Right. Many traditional cooks will dissolve the paste through a fine mesh strainer directly into the broth only in the last 10 to 15 minutes of cooking.
Through a strainer?
Yeah. It prevents clumping and ensures a smooth texture. But most importantly, it preserves those volatile, funky aromatics that make the stew so distinctive.
Okay, I get the medium rating now. It really demands your attention. You are actively managing the extraction of flavors from the anchovies, timing the vegetable tenderness, and protecting the integrity of the fermented paste.
It is a masterclass in efficiency, truly. And because you are cooking outside of Korea, the medium difficulty also reflects the sourcing and substitution challenges.
Oh, that makes sense. Like, what if you just can't find doenjang?
If you absolutely cannot find it, Chinese fermented soybean paste, or huangdoujiang, is a closer structural cousin than Japanese miso.
Okay, good to know. But what if miso is literally the only thing in my grocery store?
If you are forced to use miso in an absolute pinch, you have to compensate for its sweetness and lack of depth, perhaps by adding a splash of fish sauce or gukganjang to reintroduce that funky, savory edge. But you must understand you are making a compromise.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Let's talk about the actual dietary profile of this completed stew, because despite this massive mouth-coating umami bomb of a flavor profile, the baseline specs for doenjang jjigae are incredibly lean.
They really are.
I mean, there's no pork, there's no beef, there is no chicken, and if you swap out the anchovy broth for, say, a pure kelp or mushroom stock, there is zero seafood.
In its foundational form, it is entirely devoid of heavy animal proteins. The savory satisfaction is coming entirely from the enzymatic breakdown of the soybeans and the synergistic broth.
I see it served with brisket or seafood at Korean barbecue restaurants all the time, though. If the baseline is meatless, why is it so heavily associated with fatty cuts of beef in modern restaurant settings?
Well, restaurants often use fatty meats like brisket to enrich the broth because it pairs beautifully with the earthy paste and, you know, it feels more luxurious to a paying customer.
That makes sense, elevating it a bit.
Right. Clams are also incredibly common for a brighter, briny variation. But those are additions to the canvas. The canvas itself, the traditional domestic baseline, does not require them to be structurally sound or delicious.
It's a culinary blank canvas. That makes it a phenomenally inclusive dish for home cooks catering to dietary restrictions. It is heavily vegetarian friendly. And the spice level is officially categorized as mild, so you aren't dealing with the aggressive, fiery heat of something like a kimchi jjigae, which can alienate some palates. It is warm, comforting, and deeply savory without burning your tongue.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it highlights a profound difference in dietary problem solving.
How so?
It provides a blueprint for a hearty winter weight meal that doesn't rely on the carbon-heavy, expensive, and time-consuming braising of meats. It's a completely different approach to comfort food.
It really is. It's brilliant.
However, that reliance on soy introduces the one critical caution you have to observe.
Right. We have to fiercely respect the foundation here. The entire identity of the dish relies on the soybean paste, which brings a major allergen warning to the forefront. Soy.
Yes. You cannot easily substitute or omit the soy in duan jjigae. It is not a garnish. It is not a splash of soy sauce. You can just swap for coconut aminos.
It is the structural integrity of the stew itself.
Exactly. If you are hosting guests, you must be proactive in communicating this.
Because if you take the soybean paste out of this stew, you literally just have boiled radish water. I mean, the entire dish vanishes.
It requires this specific kind of mindfulness. You don't have to worry about undercooking poultry, and you don't have to worry about navigating religious dietary restrictions regarding pork or beef. As our sources note, there are none associated with the baseline dish.
Which is great for dinner parties.
It is, but you do have to ensure everyone at your table is safe to consume a highly concentrated amount of fermented soy.
And the tofu. I mean, we can't forget the tofu. That's a double dose of soy right there.
It certainly is.
And the contrast between the firm, dense soybean paste dissolved in the broth and the soft, pillowy cubes of tofu floating in the stew is just one of the best textural experiences in cooking. You want a medium firm or soft tofu here, right? Something that jiggles but holds its shape.
Yeah, the tofu essentially acts as a sponge for the broth. And introducing the tofu late in the cooking process prevents it from becoming tough and porous.
So it keeps that nice, delicate bite.
Exactly. It retains a silken quality that contrasts beautifully with the slight crunch of the zucchini and the tender bite of the potato or radish. It is a highly engineered textural experience achieved in under an hour.
So what does this all mean for you, the cook, standing in your kitchen wondering what to make for dinner tonight? Let's bring it all together. Doenjang jjigae is your gateway into the mechanics of Korean comfort food.
A perfect starting point.
We've established that it is a jjigae, a thick, robust stew, not a watery soup. You know that the translation itself, soybean paste stew, or guiso de pasta de soja, is your literal map to the primary ingredient.
You also understand the science behind the timeline. It only demands 40 minutes because months of microbial fermentation have already developed the amino acids for you.
But it carries a medium difficulty rating because you have to actively manage those 40 minutes. You must build a synergistic broth, sequence your vegetables for optimal texture, and carefully protect the volatile compounds in the doenjang by, you know, not overboiling it.
Right. And knowing these parameters completely demystifies the process. You are no longer just blindly following a list of foreign ingredients. You understand the biological and chemical reasons behind why the stew is constructed the way it is.
We've also decoded the dietary profile. It is a masterclass in meatless umami. In its pure baseline form, it skips the beef, pork, and chicken, utilizing the glutamates in the fermented soy to create all that depth.
It's mild in spice, but aggressive in flavor, making it incredibly accessible for vegetarians, provided you respect the one major rule. It is a concentrated soy product, so you must be mindful of soy allergies.
Which brings us back to the very beginning of our deep dive today. We asked you to picture a stew and all the heavy, time-consuming baggage that word usually carries.
This raises an important question for any cook looking to expand their repertoire.
I love this thought.
If a traditional 40-minute dish can develop the rich, complex, mouth-coating profile of a winter stew while being entirely meatless and mild, how might that challenge our deeply ingrained Western assumptions that stews always require hours of simmering heavy meats?
It totally flips the script. It proves that with the right fermented anchor, you can achieve in 40 minutes what normally takes an entire Sunday afternoon. It just opens up a massive world of weeknight cooking possibilities.
It really does.
Thank you for taking this journey into the science and technique of Doenjang Jjigae with us. We hope we've equipped you with the knowledge and the confidence to step into your kitchen, source some authentic ingredients, and experience this incredible dish for yourself. Until next time, keep questioning the recipe and happy cooking.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.